بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. At the turn of the 13th century, India had seen great luminaries. The founders of the Talim Deoband, then few years thereafter, the founder of the Tabligh Jamaat, then simultaneously all the time, the Jihad movement that worked against the English. And then there were those Muslims that were concerned about the plight of the Muslims, like Sir Sayyid Ahmed Sahib. So some of his thoughts were corrupt and upright. So he had boarded a train, and Mullah Abdul Hayy Laknavi Rahmatullah Alayh had a seat besides him. So both are in one compartment, one facing the other. And he had come into the train with his dog. So Sir Sayyid has got his dog tied near him. Mullah Abdul Hayy Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh said, "Ajeeb kisam ke aadmi ho, what's wrong with you? Moving around with your dog." So he says, "No, I hear that where there is a dog, then the malaika won't come. So this, I use this to immunize me against malakul maut. Farishta won't come now. I'm protected against malakul maut." So Abdul Hayy Sahib Rahman says, "But there must be some malaika that I appointed to take away the soul of dogs. So your soul will be taken by those malaika that are appointed to take away the soul of dogs." So he was but shaken up with this type of an answer. So he asks, "You are Mulana Abdul Hayy?" Abdul Hayy asks him, "Are you Sir Sayyid?" That was the first meeting. Both had not seen each other, but from the way they had carried on, each one recognized the other. Though his thoughts were corrupt, but he meant good. Overall, he meant good for the Muslims. If you look at his lifestyle, can't take many of his teachings. Teachings were a lot of corruption, bordering with disbelief, etc., etc. One person wanted a job. In the meanwhile, Sir Sayyid was recognized by the English government. So he was awarded with the name Sir. So now some recognition, some respect, like how they will award someone with the name Lord, someone with Sir, someone with Deputy. So these were all the titles that were awarded to Indians in that zamana. So wherever you went, and you got Sir Sayyid's name, then it carries weight. See? So one person went to some government department looking for a job. So in the interview, he says that, "You know who I am? I am Sir Sayyid's son-in-law." Obviously he did it just to get a job. So the English that was interviewing him, secretly he phoned up or whatever to Sir Sayyid, that this person has come here for an interview for a job and he claims to be your son-in-law. So Sir Sayyid says, "Yes, yes, definitely he's my son-in-law and you better give him a nice job." Anyway, they gave him a job, everything worked well for him. The holiday time came after a year, so he went to give his thanks and compliments to Sayyid Sahib that he made a good recommendation for him, so he secured a job and he's quite comfortable. Just to show his gratitude, he went. So Sayyid Sahib says, "See, I don't have any daughters. I have two daughters, both of them are married. I don't have the third daughter. Had I had a third daughter, I would have offered it to you, so you could have been my son-in-law. But nonetheless, you got a job, so from today your daughter will be like my daughter. Your wife will be like my daughter. I will give her the same respect that I give to my own daughters. And then, just as a man would call his daughters, respect them, give them gifts, etc., he would do the same to his wife, gifts. Whatever he would give to the other daughters, he would give to this woman as well. So overall he meant good, although he was a corrupt person. Right? So you can't take any of his teachings. Take his teaching, will go off. So he's seated in his lounge with some friend of his, and he's speaking, casually speaking with his friend. Okay, you see at the distance, you see there's a well there, and you see the person that is washing himself at the well. So, yeah, I see him. See, in a few moments he'll wash himself, then he'll put one big jibba and have one tasbih with big, big danas, you know, big, big tasbih beads around his neck, put on a big fat amama, or have a stick, and have one rumal like a sheikhul mashaykh, he'll come. See? And then here, he'll come here, he'll want something from me. I'm not going to give 1 cent. So, anyway, like Sayyid Saab said, this person dressed himself, put on a jubba, put on that big tasbih, and then he got a big fat amama, then he got a stick, dressed up like a Sheikhul Mukhshaykh, and then he comes to Sayyid Saab's door, knocks at the door. So, Sayyid Saab gave him a cold shoulder. So this man says, "You're giving me a cold shoulder. You know, this eyes had seen Ghulam Ali. Now Ghulam Ali was the Khalifa of Mirza Mazhar Jana Rahmatullah Ali. So you may have heard of Allama Khalid, who was the Sheikh of Allama Shami Rahmatullah Ali. Right? And also Sayyid Mahmud Alusi Rahmatullah Ali, he is a Sheikh. So these are Ghulam Ali's murids. Ghulam Ali's murids, Allama Shami, Sayyid Mahmud Alusi Rahmatullah Ali, they are his murids. And Ghulam Ali is Mirza Mazhar Rahmatullah Ali's khas murid, very special murid. Kept him very close to him. So there used to be some casual conversations sometime with him. So sometime at one time he gave some mitai. They call it a loaves. I suppose it is shaped like a badam, so they call it a loaves. So they take this. So Mirza Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, when he gave it to him, he just kept it in a paper and folded it. So Mirza Sahib said, "Hey, you gave me a headache. Is this how you wrap a mitai?" So Mirza Sahib was very refined. Anything that is a little bit out of shape, out of proportion, it will cause him a headache. One lady, she saw, now it's Delhi and Delhi is cold. Delhi is on that Himalayan belt, not far from that. So the winters are very severe. So she saw that Mirza Sahib Rahmatullah doesn't have enough warm blankets, etc., to keep himself warm throughout the night. So she made one blanket or whatever, lihaf blanket, what they call it? Huh? Duvet. Yeah. You know Godura, right? The duvet, can't remember these words. So she made that, and she gave it to the Khadim to put it on. So the night now, the Khadim just put it over Mirza Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So the Khadim and Zuman, everybody felt that tonight he'll have a good sleep. Because all the time he's sleeping in the cold, so he can't have a good rest. By the morning they asked him, "Did you have a good rest, Hazrat Mirza Sahib? Did you have a good rest?" "So no, I couldn't sleep the whole night." "What happened?" So the duvet, the lining wasn't right. It's a little bit crooked. In the dark, right, dark, no moonlight, absolutely nothing. And he could perceive that the lining on that kodru or the duvet wasn't straight. And that now created a headache. And because of the headache, he couldn't sleep the whole night. Now, Mirza Sahib was like that. Naturally, very refined. I don't say that that's an act of piety, but he was naturally like that. So, when he was young, Mirza Sahib Rahmatullahi, so he was quite attractive, quite handsome, so a lot of friends here. A lot of people should come near him. Young children at his age, then as he grew up, then all the friends scattered. One person has remained with him. Anyway, after some time passed, he became a buzruq. This person went on to something else. So Mirza Sahib Rahmatullahi, thinking to himself, you know, all the friends scattered away, one person was faithful to me. Let me make dua for him, you know, special tawajjuh and special dua for him. So he made special dua and tawajjuh for him. So as he's making tawajjuh and dua, he sees that thing is rebouncing. Whatever dua he's making is going away. And he's getting overwhelmed. I think, hey, I'm making dua, but I'm getting covered here. It's supposed to be going to that person, and I'm being covered by his blessings. His fuyuz and barakat are covering me. I thought I would cover him with the barakat, and his blessings are covering me. So he's trying to figure out, eventually he got the person. He got the person, he says, you know, I was trying to pass on blessings to you, but your blessings had overpowered me. So therefore I came to ask you for a maaf, that you just keep me, just save me, you know, don't you do this to me. So this person says to Mirza Sahib Rahmatullahi, you see, if you want me to not interfere with you or to do anything with you, then you must treat me like how you treated me when we were small. Both of us were young, 10, 15 years of age, how we used to play, how we used to joke with each other, you must play with me the same way. So he says, but you are a big sheikh and a buzul, how can I play with you like that? No, you'll have to do it. Otherwise, I'll take all the barakat of yours, I will take it away. All your fuyuz and barakat, I will take it away. Now, on a Jummah, in Jama Masjid Delhi, were about 100,000 crowd. So, this buzruq used to be seated in one place, Mirza Sahib is in another place. After the Jummah namaz, Mirza Sahib will go, come there, take his pillow and throw it somewhere. Take his shoes and throw it another end. His rumal, he'll fling it somewhere. But the whole crowd is watching what's happening. So you see, you don't want to play with me like this, then all the barakat of yours, I will snatch it away. So this person was faithful, and they maintained that type of relationship. Right? Now, for Mirza Sahib Rahmatullahi, it was a big test, because one is his temperament was very, very refined. This type of a relationship is breaking the temperament. So anyway, we're talking of Ghulam Ali. Ghulam Ali was given that loaves. So he put the paper and he just said, you gave me a headache now. You don't know even how to fold a paper. Then he opened that paper, put the loaves mitai, and then like how a sweet wrapper, you know, how it's wrapped equally from each side, from this side, from that side, four corners all wrapped evenly, equally. So he wrapped like this. Sent it away. So he asked him after that, how did you enjoy that loaves? When he came the second, third day, he said, yeah, I enjoyed it. How much did you have? He said, well, I finished everything. Hey, give me another headache. This is a loaves, you're supposed to just take one after meals. You finish the whole thing up. But they had that relationship. He's the Muri. But he should correct him also. Correct Mirza Sahib should correct him. See, the refined character now. Now, these things are not supposed to be imitated. Now, don't say that tomorrow that I also got a very, very refined temperament. Your temperament will become refined because I mentioned the story, not because it was naturally in you. He was naturally like that. Right. So, one day he says to Ghulam Ali, tomorrow must bring your child. Child is about 4, 5, 6 years of age. Bring your child. So I want to just amuse myself with your child, 4, 5 years of age. So Ghulam Ali tried to push it off. He said, Mirza Sahib is such a refined person, buzug. This child will come and make mischief, he'll take your other shoes and start jumping here, what other things he'll do. So I can't bring him here. So the following day, I asked you to get your child or try to push it off again. Until when he insisted, now he trained his child. See, you know, you're going to go to sit in the company of a buzug. You must sit with other, don't make noise, don't run around, don't see everything, what's happening here, how a child will behave. Don't do all these things. There's a lot of other than respect. So he trained him for about 2-3 days, then he brought him. So I asked you to bring your child. So I brought my child. Mercy, this is a child. So as he sat there, now Mirza Sahib is trying to amuse himself. And the child is sitting with so much of respect, mohabbat, and putting his head down. So Mirza Sahib told Ghulam Ali, Ghulam Ali, I asked you to bring a child, not a buzurug here. You brought a buzurug. He's respecting, he's not supposed to be behaving like that. In other words, he's a child, so he must be behaving like a child. You would appreciate the prank of the child, running around, jumping, shouting. That child acts like an adult, qualified, professional person. You won't appreciate that in a child. He must pass his childhood, then he must become professional. Now he's bypassed the childhood and became a professional person. It doesn't look right. So, one day this Ghulam Ali is fanning his sheikh. That time there's no electricity, so hand fan. So, Mirza Sahib is saying, Tere haat mein koi jaan nahi hai. There's no life, you became lifeless. So softly you're doing it. So he started doing it with a swift motion. Are tu mujhe urai dega? Hey, you will blow me this time. You're doing it so swiftly. So Ghulam Ali says, na aise bane, na aise banta hai. Na is tarah se bane, na is tarah se bane. Not working out. I'm doing it softly is a problem. I'm doing it swiftly is a problem. What to do now? He had to say this. So what did you say? Right, you go. Get out of the khanka. Go. No place for you here. Kept him out. Couple of good weeks he kept him out, crying, pleading to come back. Now all there's a training that is going on. It doesn't think that they're just doing this out of fun and just to have some entertainment. It's some training, right? And the type of training, inshallah, some other day I'll explain you what they get out of this training. But in brief, just to make you understand, this person is going to be trained. And then he will represent Mirza Sahib Rahmatullahi to the public. Mirza's representative, right? Rahmatullahi's representative. Now in the public you have all types. All types. Someone is rowdy, someone is quiet, someone is he shouts, someone gets irritable very quickly. So all types of people. You have a mixed bag. And you have to work with everybody. And one person came here, comes from an extremely wealthy background, very, very wealthy background. Like just one shop of his, he has about 20 shops, one shop, the turnover is about $1 million a day. So wealthy he is, right? So he's got about 20 shops. So, came here, I could see now his mizaj is a little bit sensitive, very refined. No, he's asking us for some advice, so you must go out in Jamaat. You must go out in Jamaat. Peddle Jamaat, this, you know, a little bit of poor people, that type of class, you must go with them. So he came after about 10 days, said, no, I'm not going to Jamaat again. But what happened now? So I went to the Cape Townian Jamaat, right? A little bit of some of the, a little bit of wild people. That doesn't mean that all Cape Townians are like that, but that Jamaat was a little bit of a wild background. So it was about 10, 11 o'clock in the day when the Jamaat will do some talim and all that. So some of them by then had washed their clothes and left it to dry. So he saw now that the clothes had dried. So he's asking that Capronian back, your clothes have dried, so you can pull off the line. So the Capronian is saying, "Bhai, you do your work, don't worry about my clothing. It's not in your way, you just do your work." So this was too much for him, because he's a boss, right? Being a boss, he's used to giving instructions. And his staff is used to receiving instruction. Now for him to get this from a person like this, was too much. He said, no, I'm not going to Jamaat again. So you just go to Jamaat, that's the right thing for you. It will neutralize all your temperament, see all your refinedness, and you know, you're very fussy about things. It will bring you some moderation. But always, you're carrying like that, you fly too high. I mean, it may not be good for you. Now it may seem all right, but after a few days, then it's not even the right thing for you. So you have to bring you back some level of moderation. So Mirza Sahib is doing this to bring about some moderation in his murid. That you become a very pious person, but then what is your level of endurance? You must be able to endure everybody. Abdul Haysab Laknawi Rahmatullahi, not the Muhaddis, but Sayyid Sahib Rahmatullahi's murid. So he joined up. Abdul Hayy or Abdul Bari Sahib, he joined up with Sayyid Sahib. They're going out in jihad. So as they go out in jihad, so Mawla Ismail Shahid Sahib announced that Mawla Abdul Bari Sahib, he will have his meals with me. With nobody, no other person, he will sit and have his meals with me. So now, as he announced, Sayyid Sahib Rahmatullahi holds him in that esteem. When he holds him in that esteem, so everybody had to respect it. So it's one thali, one kuncha, you know, big plate. So both are seated and eating from that one. So as they sat down to eat, so Mawlana Ismail Shahid Sahib, deliberately, he cleaned his nose, you know. That's too much for Mawlana Abdul Bari. I can't handle this. Became nauseated. Got up. So Mawlana Ismail Shahid just left him there. So one meal and he couldn't eat. Came to the second meal time. Mawlana Ismail Shahid, he does though, he's cleaning his nose, and the same hand is going in the plate. Now, he said, Mawlana, tum kya karte ho? What are you doing? Because one meal he didn't have, now there's a second meal. Now the third meal came, he cleaned his nose, and the same hand is mixing with the rice or whatever. Now, Mawlana Abdul Bari says, you do whatever you do, whatever you want to do, I will eat that food now. Right, apki islah ho gayi. Now why you have to do this? Because you're going out in jihad. You're going to be so clear and so particular, I need this type of gloves and that type of water, and that type of utensil, and that type of soap, and that type of towel. You can't have it. You have to just rough and tough. Whatever you get, you just have to do with it. Sometimes the water will not be very clean. You have to just do with it. But if you want everything to be absolutely clean and thorough, you're not going to get it in jihad. Now you want to participate in jihad, but you're coming with this temperament. When you're coming with this temperament, then how are you going to last? So I needed to correct you. Therefore, I made you do this. Now you fixed up. Now you can join me. Okay. Now, We are talking of Birza Sahib Rahmatullahi and the refined temperament, right? Small, anything that is not evenly placed, right? It will create a, it is walking somewhere in a carpet, right? And it's not even. That also will create a headache. So refined it was. So, he was shown to him that, you see, you must get married to this Pathan woman. And get married, inshallah, to this Pathan woman. And because of this marriage, inshallah, your status will be elevated. Allah Ta'ala will elevate you. So you got married to her. Now, oh, this woman here has such a nasty temperament, you know. Every second word is like a swear word. Aggressive, impolite. But he was told, you get married to this woman, inshallah, this will elevate you. So he got married and he used to endure her. But what he would do, like he's going to the Khanqah now, you know, he's got all his muris, he has to check to them. So he'll send one person to the home to find out if they need anything for the day. So this is the Khanqah and this is the house. So one person is sent to go and find out if there's any needs that he can check to the needs. See? So one day, an Afghani, you know, excised Afghani, he was sent to go and check out if she had any needs. See? So he said, what are you talking about, that Hazrat and all that? He's a lutera, he's a robber, he's a rogue, he's a thief, he's a makeup, he's a fake. Who is saying? The wife is saying, absolute fake. So he pulled out his dagger and said, you just rather keep quiet, I'll stab you. She became even more aggressive. So meanwhile, Mirza Sahib Rahman is in the Khanqah, he just heard this. He overheard this. When he overheard this, just call him back. Call him back. So he says to her, Yata Mary Muhsina hai. This woman actually has been has done a great favor to me. Hazrat, how you say that she's done such a great favor? She's swearing, she's abusive, she's insulting, she's aggressive like that. And how you say that she is so, she's done such a great favor to you? So he says to her, she says to some at murid, you see, got angry. Call him and said, you see, look at this correspondence, right? Look at these letters. So one letter now, Hazrat, Mujaddid, and Muhyi Sunnah, you know, big alqab, Qutubul Aktab, Ghawse Azam, big names, basically. You see now, all these names here, really, I don't fit these titles, right? And you know about it, that these letters are coming, and people are giving these titles to me, right? Right. So I am not fit for these titles, and you are aware of it. But did you blink an eye when you saw this? You didn't say anything about it. But if it was that you got upset because the wrong type of title was used, then you could have got upset here as well. These titles I am not fit for, I am not worthy of, and why is these titles given to this unworthy person? So if you are upset that she used that type of language, right, abused, insulted, right, so I don't deserve the type of titles, so I don't deserve this also. So you could have been upset here as well, like you upset here, but selectively you are only upset when some abusive words came in. And when those words appeared more than what I was worthy of, when I received that, then you didn't blink an eye. Nothing. You didn't show anything. No remorse. No, you didn't show any type of indifference towards that. So he says, see, now when these people are giving all these praises here, and this person is giving disgrace, so he's just neutralizing me. He's just moderating me. Otherwise, I'll get blown through with all these things here. I'll get blown away. So she actually stopped me, she's protecting me from getting blown away. It was only all his praise words all the time. Just, you like this, and you like this, and you like this. And there was nothing to neutralize this, then I would have been blown now. So now this came in, and it just neutralized me. So I won't get caught. I won't get caught into the trap of self-admiration. Now imagine if I got caught in the trap of self-admiration. I would have been lost. I would have been destroyed. Finished class. Admiration. Like pride is haram, and self-admiration is also haram. See how these busuls, how they check on themselves. And then you see how they live with their wives. Here, on our side, all the respect and mahabbat, compliments we give to strangers. We went to eat somewhere, my diners or somewhere, so we'll give them a compliment. And if it's a woman waitress, then it will be more courteous. Oh, thank you. I really appreciate your service. They take this And the wife is giving service every day. Did you any word of courtesy? Yes, she's getting paid for that. And you're giving her over and above that. And your wife is not getting paid. And did you compliment? Did you give, say a jazakallah? You're so grateful and appreciative. See? So the one that is not getting paid, you just pull up your face. No, thank you, no jazakallah, nothing. And the one that is getting paid, you're giving her all the courtesy, all the compliments, give you a tip and everything else. Is that fair? Is that right? See, it's lopsided. Our reasoning is off. See? Now, like the man has to be considerate to the wife also must be considerate. Like you are coming home, so you must be some cheer. You dressed up nice. You've got a beard. Your beard is well combed. You're looking presentable. If you are not presentable and she gets turned off from you, then what happens? You're presentable, neatly dressed, and then you're coming home. So she sees a person neatly dressed, nice, and she feels attracted to you. By the same token, then she also must correct herself before you come. As she knows more or less this is the time that you come, so she must correct herself. Therefore the hadith says also that to return from the safar, then don't just get in the night. Don't just get in the night. Wait for the morning and then come in. Because لِكَيْ تَسْتَحِدَّ الْمَغِيبَ, that this woman now, the husband has been away, right? When the husband has been away, so she was casual about her dress, about her clothing and all, she was casual about it. She was concerned. Right? But now the husband has approached, then she needs to make sure that she is dressed appropriately for the husband. She must be dressed correctly and appropriately for the husband. I know, may have been one of the first marital cases that I took, in Spingo, some 35, 36 years ago. So there was one, Asmal, you must have heard of Asmal, Nabina, he's late now. So he took a bridal Quran Sharif. He brought the case to me. So there's a marital problem, can you just help out? So I just heard the case, the man was working in town, and the wife was living somewhere here. So, off the cuff now, this first case, I'm just thinking what could be the possible problem. I haven't spoken to the woman, nothing. This man brought in the problem to me, but I'm trying to work out in my mind what could be the possible problem. So I tell him, "Bhai, you tell this woman here, when does the husband come?" See, he comes in about 5 o'clock. So from 3 o'clock she must dress up nicely. If her hands are messed up with achar and garlic and ginger and all that, she must go and wash herself nicely and put nice clothing, put some perfume and all that. Now then receive him. She must dress up nicely, wash herself if she's working in your masalas and all that, and then when he's about to come, and she must be dressed well. And so anyway, he came after that one week. It was a broad smile, the broad smile from one ear to the other ear. Everything sorted out. So she was taking the husband for granted. She wasn't dressing up. And I can imagine now, at that time, Umslanga was not known thing like Umslanga. So all the activity was in town, right? Everything was in Durban. So now, when the activity is here, so people are dressed up, women, everybody are dressed up like that, you see. So he is seeing all these type of dresses and this type of people all the time. He comes here to see a whole achar and messed up and not appropriate, right? So he'll get turned away from his wife. But if he sees the singing, what he sees there, then he'll get more and more attracted to his wife. So that all that tofan, all the problem, in 1 week, Alhamdulillah was sorted out. So like the husband has to dress up properly, correctly, then the wife also should be considerate, right? Strangely now, the wrong of the woman is that when she's going out for a function, then she's dressed up very well. She's dolled up and she's got a makeup and all that. But when she's at home, then she's like a nanima. She will dress up for the husband so that the husband doesn't get distracted from her. See this hadith is saying, decay tastahidda al maghiba. Why is it that she's dressed up correctly, appropriate to receive the husband, but the husband's attention is, his tawajjuh is only towards his wife, not towards any other strange woman. See the teaching of the wisdom is comprehensive. It's not only about making zikr, sitting one place and all that. Complete person, perfect. So if you are a husband, you're the right husband. You are a teacher in a madrasa, you are the right person. If you are a teacher at a school, then you are the right person. If you are doing business, then you are doing it right? You've got business ethics, right? If you are in an employee, then you've got the right type of ethics there as well. No matter what situation you are, but you are behaving correctly. So, the tasawwuf that we were taught, Hazrat Ji Ramtai, it makes that person comprehensive, right? In whatever position you are, you conduct yourself correctly. So, you're making a good home. If you're working, you are good in your work. If you are doing books, then you're thorough in that. Anything you're doing it correctly. Correctly doing it. كتب الإحسان في كل شيء. Do whatever you need to, but do it right, do it nicely. So that you respect it. If you are the worker, then your boss is happy with you. And you are the boss, then you are good towards your worker, good in your management. So your staff also likes you. You are good as a worker, and you are good as a boss. So you are the head. But the way you plan yourself, the people that are under you, they like you. You need to tell them some things. So how you tell yourself, how you tell them, how you speak to them, they begin to take a liking for you. Not an aversion. Hey, this person has come again. Some monster has come again. They take a liking for you. So how must you conduct yourself? So all this requires that you sit about, you before you're talking, you must think about, all right, today I am in a leading position. I am in a managing position. He is my junior. Tomorrow the tables can be turned around, that he will be in a managing position, I am his junior. Then how will I like it if someone talks to me aggressively, he insults me, he abuses me, how will I like it? So I won't like it, so he will also not like it. Now I need to pass the message to him, then how do I pass the message to him? How must I say it? Now I got the message across, but in a way that is acceptable, easy. He's happy that, you know, someone spoke to me about it, like a gentleman, they spoke to me in a nice way. So he wants to do the work. So he's cooperating with you, and there's an understanding between the boss and the worker. Otherwise, the boss doesn't want to see the worker. He sees him, his face is pulled up, he doesn't want to take instructions. Why? Because the approach is not right. So you just correct the approach, and you see that you get you will get a double response from the person. The response will be doubled because you got the right response, right type of approach. See, so this is the type of the self we are taught. That whatever you are, do it right. Think about it, understand, prepare yourself for that occasion, and then do it. Right. So performing namaz. So I know I need to perform 2 rakats of namaz, Isha namaz. So I must prepare for it. Taraweeh, I must prepare for it. So So you go on the musalla, you're doing it well. But you didn't prepare for it, and you just every namaz, alam nashra inna anzalna, alam nashra inna anzalna. But it's all with surat ataya. There was one muazzin here, you know. So up till then, Springer Beach didn't have an appointed imam. So now, when there isn't an appointed imam, any person that is a little bit more educated, right? So they'll put him onto the musalla. So there's one person, I won't take his name. So I also read namaz behind him. Now his famous surah, I think, was one of Watini Inna Anzalna. So now the musalli is got around him. By any other surahs, only these two surahs all the time. So they kept on eating his brains until one day he thought of reading his Surah Yasin. Now if started Surah Yasin, he got stuck. Can't move. So the Muazzin told him, oh, whatever his name was, oh, Musa, Shia lo tata buye. Read the Surah, take something else though. You got stuck here now. Now this may be happen here, but in the Arabs also the same thing happen. The Imam Saad, Fajr Namaz, he started reading Surah Nuh. So when he started out, Inna Arsalna Nuhan, he's getting stuck, he can't go further. Inna Arsalna Nuhan, Inna Arsalna Nuhan, he can't go Ila Qawmi an Anzir Qawmaka min Qabli Ayyatiyam Adhamun Adim. So one villager is behind him. So the villager says, Ida lam yadhab nu fa arsil Musa. You're getting stuck now. Do some good. Say something else. So the approach, you see, approach, presentation, whatever you're doing, do it well. Put your attention. You will be liked, and the job that you are doing, people will appreciate. But you're not doing it, your heart is not there, you won't be liked, and nobody will like your work as well. So do a small work, but do it nicely. Do it respectfully. So we are talking of Sir Sayyid Sahib, and we branched off, right? So Sir Sayyid Sahib, he's in that house, and this fakir came in. You know, fakir. Made up. What a big jubba, what a big fat kumama, mota dana ki tasbih. Tasbih was a big, big beads. So anyway, when he knocked, Sayyid Sahib opened the door and didn't pay any attention to him. When he didn't pay any attention to him, so this fakir began to say, Tum meri taraf roo gardani karte ho. Halaki is aankh ne Ghulam Ali ko dekha. You know, you're not paying any attention to me, whereas the same eyes had seen the blessed face of Ghulam Ali. You have to say that. So Sayyid Sahib brought his whole, he opened his whole vault, you know, his whole vault, and whatever he had in the vault, you know, he presented some gold coins, whatever he had there, and he gave it. Got into a shiver, got into a panic, gave it to him. Respected him, and that person made salam and he went away. Anyway, when he's gone, so this guest that he's got, the guest told him, but just now you told me that this person is a fake, right? And you're not going to give him anything. And then suddenly, you know, you just took a somersault and gave him a whole vault game. So he says, you know, I got away cheap. If he asked me to give me the whole vault, I would have given him the whole thing I would have given him. See the name that he took. So this is what I was saying some 2-3 days ago. You see, the people in the past, they remained on course and they didn't deviate from deen. They and their children, progenies, their household, they remained. And the secret in them was that they had respect for deen and the people of deen. So like I said, this Sir Sayyid, was a corrupt person, right? But in his corruption, he still had respect for deen and the people of deen. No matter how corrupt he must have been, but he showed a lot of respect. And the respect has kept him on. With all his corruption and his problems, but it still kept him on. And that very ingredient that is the preservative for deen, the savior for deen, now we're making an effort to take it out. What is he? He's just a person, what's wrong? He's just a piece of furniture, why must we respect him? So what's so great about him? It's just a book, so why must we not show so much of respect to the book? So we have this type of an approach. So anything that is to do with deen or the people of deen, people that are giving guidance, dispensing hidayat, instructing, leading, right? So they may have some weakness, right? And with the passage of time, all of us, our weaknesses grow. So the leaders also will have some greater weaknesses than the people of the past. Like our weaknesses are greater, your weakness will be greater than your father's weakness. Right? And your father's weakness may have been greater than his father's, and so forth and so on. So with the passage of time, the imams also will deteriorate like this. Right? Whoever is in deen or giving deeni instruction and hidayat, it won't be like the original people. So you don't compare them against the original. Let's compare them against you. If you are weak, then you've got a weak imam. Right? Right? So if you understand it like that, then you'll be able to move. I don't say now, don't try to correct. Try, see how you're going to do things, how you're going to get it right. But then, not to respect and to compare them against like Junaid Baghdadi and all these things here, that may never happen. Not in your lifetime, not in your grandchild's lifetime. It will happen. So you'll have no worry then. So, according to the commitment of deen you are giving, this person also, right, he is quite good for you. It may have not been good for your father, but it's good for you. For your father, it was at a higher level, so the imam that he had was of a higher level. Deeni people, etc., he had, they're higher. But the person that is now present is good for your type of need. So look at him like that. But as I say, you continue working and keep improving standards. Don't just be complacent, keep improving. Don't become complacent. But with the same token now, don't you try and compare him against Junaid Baghdadi and the people above, right? Because then nobody will come. At that standard, nobody will come. When nobody will come fit in that standard, you'll have nobody. You'll become azad of deen, and there'll be no commitment. The little that you're doing, you will give that up as well. So appreciate, respect, love. Inshallah, you'll get a lot. You don't be complacent in your own deen, try and improve all the time. But the next person, the one that is giving some deen hidayat, don't become too particular about him, that he's doing this, is he doing this. So sometimes it's a small thing, right? And you take it so serious. Perhaps he was standing somewhere and he drank water. The imam saw, Now, it's not such an emphasized thing that you must make a noise about. Right. Now, you want to see the imam, perfect. But what about the times that you talk to women? You work with women. That you are looking at. But the imam, absolutely, 100%, must be no flaw, absolutely no flaw. So like there are numerous flaws in you, if there is one, two flaws in him, then just overlook. See, look at the bigger picture. See how much you're gaining from him. Allah Pak Tawfiq Naseeb Kare.
Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa salim. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا من الراشدين واجعلنا من المهديين واجعلنا من الذين لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون اللهم توفنا من المسلمين والحقنا بالصالحين غير خزايا ولا ندامة ولا مفتونين يا أكرم الأكرمين يا أول الأولين يا آخر الآخرين يا كريم رحم الله فقب الله وسنجع الله يا كريم رحم الله فقب الله وسنجع الله يا الله today we have been called up to make dua يا الله our heart is fluttering يا الله in front of the people that we know يا الله Allah, in spite of all our sins, Ya Allah, Allah, you have concealed our sins today. The biggest sinner has been called to make dua, Ya Allah. Allah, on the day of Qiyamah, Ya Allah, like how you've concealed our sins today, Ya Allah. Conceal all our sins on the day of Qiyamah, Ya Kareem, Rahim Allah. Ya Allah, our asking is insincere, Ya Allah. Our hearts are inattentive, Ya Allah. Our demeanor is not correct, Ya Allah. Our asking is inappropriate, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, all the signs of duas not being accepted are found in us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are full of faults, Ya Allah, and we are full, Ya you are Pak, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive all our sins, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you love to forgive us, Ya Allah. Ya Kareem, Rahim Allah, forgive our major and minor sins, Ya Allah. Ya Kareem, Rahim Allah, Ya Kareem, Rahim Allah. Ya Allah, we are bold in our sinning, Ya Allah. But we are shy in asking for forgiveness, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you love to forgive us, Ya Allah. You love to forgive us, Ya Allah. Forgive the sins of our parents, Ya Allah. Forgive the sins of our wives, Ya Allah. Ya Kareem, Rahim Allah, forgive the sins of our children. Forgive the sins of the entire Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, wherever in the world Muslims are going through any difficulty, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you assist them, Ya Kareem, Rahim Allah. Ya Allah, remove the difficulty, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you bring ease, Ya Allah. Those who are sick and ailing, Ya Allah, grant them shifa, kamila, adila, daima, mustamira, Ya Kareem, Rahim Allah. Those who are suffering from whatever ailments, Ya Allah, spiritual or physical, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant them ease, Ya Allah. Those who are languishing in jails, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you secure the release, Ya Allah. Ya Kareem, Rahim Allah, the idaras all over the world, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, protect it from all types of evil, Ya Allah. Protect it from all times of evil, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, those who are in debt, Ya Allah, you make it easy for them to come out of the debt, Ya Allah. Ya Kareem, Rahim Allah, whoever has asked us to make dua for them, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant him the best in this world, covered in the akhirat, Ya Allah. Ya Kareem, Rahim Allah, grant him the best of this world, covered in the akhirat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we ask you from those things, we ask you of those things which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked for, Ya Allah. And we seek protection from those things which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has sought protection from, Ya Allah. بفضل سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.